Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Teacher Ann is in studio. Thank you for being a teacher.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Good morning, Miss Ann.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ashley.
I got you an apple.
Apple polisher.
So this is a citizenship test.
Mm-hmm.
These are questions that
came
on the test.
Right.
They did. They came right from the test. I didn't know anything about this, so I did a little research. And apparently there are 100 questions for them to choose from on the civics part of the test. And it's an oral test.
Okay.
And the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services officer chooses 10. And you have to pass six.
Six of the 10.
Six of the
10. Out of 100,
so there's 100 questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who picks the 10?
This citizen, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services officer. And
okay.
There are three categories: American government, American history, holidays, and geography and symbols. That's in an integrated civics category. So there's three categories. There are 100 questions total.
Wow.
They choose 10, and you have to pass six.
Symbols.
Right. Hmm. I'm screwed already. I can't. Do I get to decide, or you just pick them?
It
no,
sounded...
did you hear what she said three times?
Apparently. That's why I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I didn't have, like, you know, reading.
They're picked out for you.
You're right. Okay.
There's
fine.
10.
Fine.
You have to get six.
Fine.
Okay.
All right.
So all right. I'll let you decide. You want to start with American government, American history, or integrated civics?
Oh, Jesus. The last one doesn't sound good at all.
Try that one.
I'm going to go. Okay, why not? It doesn't make a difference. I'm hitting things like crazy over here.
He's so nervous.
He is. He's banging around in there.
I actually think this is the easiest category.
Really? Well, you think that. You're a teacher.
No, I think you could nail this. So there's geography, symbols, and holidays. What would you like to start with?
Let's go with holidays.
Okay, that's a good one. So this is really a question right off the test. When do we celebrate Independence Day?
July 4th.
Right.
Yay!
Woo! I got one.
Boy, that seems easy.
Yeah, we're seriously.
Yeah. All right, good for you.
Did I win?
Yeah.
Well, you're almost there.
Okay.
So symbols. Why does the flag have 50 stars?
Represents the 50 states.
There you go. And how about a geography one from that category?
Okay.
Name one U.S. territory.
One U.S. territory?
Mm-hmm.
Territory?
Yeah.
You should absolutely know this.
Territory.
Like you.
Yeah, Louisiana Purchase.
Don't help him.
Louisiana Purchase.
Why would you want to help
That's
him?
That's a territory, right?
I just, if he
All right, she gets
get
expelled.
This.
Cheating.
Right.
What do you think?
Louisiana Purchase?
Are you...
That was a territory report, right?
Yeah, but a current
Connecticut's
territory.
Connecticut's a territory.
AJ!
Right. Connecticut. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
All right. So I was thinking more summer vacation. Puerto Rico, Guam,
Puerto Rico.
U.S. Virgin Islands.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
Oh, my
Those
God.
Those are all territories.
We're not a state yet? Okay.
We have to call your mother.
I know!
She doesn't know either.
Oh, my God.
All right. So we're going to kick it up a notch. You ready?
Okay, kick it.
All right. So he's got one out of...
I got two so far. I got two so far.
Oh, two
out of three.
Two out of three.
All right.
Two out of three. Yeah.
If you continue on that pace, you're good.
Thank you.
All right. How about some American history?
Oh, no.
Oh, you got this.
No, I'm sure I don't.
Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s.
Oh, 1900s. Oh, that's easy. That's in the World War or regular war?
War. What are you
I'm going to go with World War II.
Oh,
World
choice.
War II. World War II.
World War II. Okay. Yeah, it's World War II.
Okay, just checking. Just checking. I wasn't sure there was a technicality.
So the answer to name a world war in the 1900s would be one or two.
Right.
Oh,
it's almost a Korean War. That's why I'm like, I
well,
stopped.
That's a war?
It was
right,
a war.
But it's not a world war.
And it didn't
but
say
it doesn't
I didn't
have
say
to
that.
Be a world
it doesn't
war.
Have to be. It
that's why
say
I asked
it
was a world war anywhere. This is why I don't take tests.
You know, it's serious. He sat down now.
Yeah. So Vietnam, Iraq.
Right. Yeah. Well, 1990s, yeah. The 1900s, yeah. Wow. Did I mention my comprehension level is not very good? My attention span's even worse. I'm thinking like
this is a great promo.
I'm like, what went for lunch?
Have I mentioned my comprehension level's not that good?
Yep. Mm. Yes, I got the skin of my teeth diploma.
Well, luckily, you're already a citizen.
Thank you.
Okay, here's another one. Name three, only three, original states.
Three original states. The OGs.
Well, you can't really ask any questions
right.
because it's a piece of paper.
Right.
So this is it.
So I have to say, okay, three original states. Original states. I'm going to go with Phil.
Is this a verbal test?
Yeah.
You mean the state,
right? Can you ask for clarification?
I don't think so.
Can you use it in a sentence? That's a spelling bee. Sorry. what's the origin of the word? Okay, so states itself, right? All right, so Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Because you got Philadelphia, right?
That's one.
That's where they signed everything.
Good.
That's one. Let's see, another one. I'm going to say, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Right? Because Boston.
Plymouth Rock.
Big. Yeah, exactly. Plymouth Rock, where they landed. I need a third one.
Yes, you do. At least you're good at math. You got two,
Jersey,
so you need a third.
Jersey wouldn't work, no. Let's see here. Massachusetts, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to go with...
probably something around there.
New York?
Yeah, those are three. You were thinking about the 13 original colonies.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Okay, cool.
I know. You must have been watching Schoolhouse Rock on Saturday mornings.
Oh, I love Schoolhouse Rock.
There it is.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Perking up words and phrases and clauses. Yeah, that was great. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only... Sorry.
Is there one about states?
I don't know.
Is Schoolhouse Rock?
Yeah. There was a state one. I can't think of it. Which one it was. I remember noun, person, place, or thing. I remember conjunction, junction. I remember the other one with the
bill.
The bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. That one, that was a great one.
Here's the state one.
I don't recall this one.
I think it's a newer one. That's why.
50 Nifty?
Very catchy.
50 Nifty.
We used to teach the kids that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Back in the day.
If by catchy you mean annoying.
Well, it sticks. Because that was the song I had in my head before they played it.
I'm the best one.
50 Nifty.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Well, you know what? Not so bad. I didn't think he'd do this well, quite honestly.
Really?
I thought we'd have to kick him out. But I have to say the American government ones, I think, are hard.
Okay, yeah, I'm not good at that.
All right.
So I'll give you one more American history to make you feel good about yourself.
Oh, can I die? Okay, good.
Yes. Right. So during the Cold War, what was the main concern of the United States?
To warm it up. No. The Cold War.
That was funny.
The Cold War. Russia? Missiles? Russian missiles? No?
Not really.
Russian vodka. Cuba? No. Which one was it? The Cold War. The Cold War. It was missiles, wasn't it? Wasn't it like the Cold War and like, no, it's Bay of Pigs, right? That was the whole thing. The Cold War. But that's Russia. Invasion? Invasion from Russia?
You're warm.
Those stupid hats they wear? I don't know.
You're like dancing around it.
I am dancing around it. Okay. Missiles?
Yeah, you said that already.
Yeah, but I think it's missiles. It's got to be some missiles. It's got to be something to do with missiles, right? Because missiles, you know, we don't like them having them. They don't like us having them. We like pointing at each other.
Missiles?
Was it, let's see, missiles. Invasion.
All right, we got to call time.
There was a guy.
What's your final
Khrushchev answer? I'm going to say missiles. I don't know.
Communism.
Oh.
What's his score?
His score, I think it's four. I think he has four so far.
Four scores 7 years
six.
Ago.
How many more questions does he have? Because he can only get 10.
We can only give him 10. So he's had five so far. I think he only got the communism one wrong.
That was the Russia one.
Yeah.
Right. I think you.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Puerto Rico.
You got that one wrong,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I tried to give you a little
The tie. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So six questions, and you got four right. You need to get two more right of the next four.
Two more. Okay.
Or you have to go.
Nope. Go where?
Away.
Away.
Good luck.
We take a catapult and fire you into Canada.
Why is there a catapult in the parking lot?
All right. These are the American government ones. I think these are hard.
American government.
All right. So really concentrate.
Okay.
Okay. Show us what you got.
Hello.
Okay. So what is the supreme law of the land?
The supreme law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
The supreme law of the land? Supreme law. supreme law, not to spill blood.
Well, we've been breaking that one for a while then.
Right. Okay. Thou shalt not kill. That's a law, right? You can't kill anybody, right?
No. Is that catapult ready?
You could just say wrong. Don't go for the mob mentality over here. The supreme law. I mean, the supreme law? I mean,
do you think if you keep saying it, it'll just pop out of your
head?
But
there's a supreme law? I mean, this is like the basic laws, like, you know, don't steal, you know, something like that. I'm going to go, don't steal. How's that?
All right.
Don't steal.
Okay, or the Constitution. That's the supreme law of the land.
Oh, I think you meant like what's the actual law itself? Mm. And, the list of rules there. Okay, right. Fine.
Okay.
All right, so I screwed that up. Good.
Yep.
All right, so here's another Constitution question.
Oh, boy.
What do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution?
The first 10. The first 10 amendments. The first 10. The first 10. Is that the preamble? No. The first 10. First 10. The top 10 list. No, the first 10. The first 10 of them.
You should know this one. Mm.
There's a lot of things I should know.
No, I think like you actually know it is what I'm saying.
No, he doesn't.
The first 10. The first 10.
You'll say, I've heard of it.
I've heard of it.
You clearly don't know
what
it is. I have
no idea. I'm 10 Commandments? No, that's not it. No.
No.
The first 10.
You're getting dangerously close to leaving the country.
The first 10. The first 10.
Okay.
Wait, can you say the question again? Can you say the question? What was it?
The Bill of Rights.
Oh.
You've heard of it.
I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah.
I have the right to remain silent.
You got four right.
Right.
Four wrong.
Right.
You have to get these.
The next two.
Next two.
All right. Here we go. Crunch time. Here we go.
This is it.
All right. Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go. This is it.
Here we go. Wait. Hang on. All right. Stir your brains up a little bit. Okay. Good.
How many U.S. senators are there?
All of them. How many? There's 50, right? This is one for each. There's one for each state, right?
There's two.
How many U.S. senators? Oh, per state. They mean overall. Overall, then I'm going to say two.
No.
No, not even.
No.
There's two. What? There's
per
two.
State.
You said 50.
Per state.
If there's two per state.
Right. I didn't hear the per state part. I just heard how many senators, so I said 50.
Okay. How many
senators? That still wouldn't make 100 then. That'd be 100 senators altogether. There'd be two
for
each state.
Well, you get that one wrong, so you have to leave.
Fine.
Math. It's the math that gets them.
Right. Yeah, math screwed me up. I was told
if
me no math.
If there's 50 states.
Right. And there's two, and there's 100. I forgot there's two senators. I thought overall, you know, like overall, there's a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
Not doing me any good at all, no.
No. All right. So, done, but let's just see if you get this last
one. Yeah, for S&Gs, why not? Yeah, sure. Before
okay,
I go to London. Yeah.
This is, so I can give you an easy one, or I can give you a really hard one.
You could give me easy ones the whole time, but that'd be nice. Yeah.
So, what does the president's cabinet do?
Holds his liquor. I'd be drinking all the time.
Advises him.
Oh, see?
I could have asked you, what month do we vote for the president?
That would have been a good one. November.
Yeah.
All right.
That would been good.
Could have kept him then.
Yeah, it'd been nice.
Deputy Chief Robert Stockert on the phone. Thank you for what you do.
You're welcome.
What happened?
We were dispatched shortly after 10 a.m. yesterday for structure fire on 3rd Street in the Brooklyn section of Waterbury. And on arrival, first in companies had heavy fire in the rear of the building. The exterior rear porches on the second and third floor were heavily involved. We had fire on the second floor and even more fire pushing in on the third floor.
Holy crap.
Wow.
So were you on scene for this?
Yes, sir. I arrived shortly after the first two companies started going to work.
And then when you see this, what is your reaction?
Well, first and foremost, it's the health and safety of our members. But, you know, there are times, and yesterday was one of them, where we have to put our health and safety on the back burner to, you know, try to save some lives.
As you're, getting your, people in place and all this, when do you find out there are people in the building?
If if conditions warrant, if there are savable lives in the building, we're always going to go in and do our best to perform search and rescue operations. On arrival, we were told that, or shortly after arrival, we were told that there were victims in the building on the third floor. Companies were assigned search and rescue on the third floor. They made their way up, forced a door into the third floor apartment, and that door was blocked by some furniture, which, you know, we commonly see.
Why is
you
that?
Know, in our environment. Well, you know, some people have, you know, may have smaller apartments, and wow. You know, they might choose to put furniture in front of one of the entrance exits.
Yeah.
And just use primarily the other one.
Gotcha.
So crews made it, got the doors forced, got into the third floor, but they were unable to proceed due to the fire conditions on the third floor. So we had a line run up to the third floor, and they were able to
what's that? Is that a
fire
hose?
And check.
That's yes, a hose?
Sir. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes. We ran a hose line up to the third floor, and they were able to hold the fire in check while crews were able to move into the building and perform search operations.
That's amazing. That's found, like suppression fire,
right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, if you know, if we're holding fire in check, it's, you know, hopefully going to keep our people safe while they're performing their search and rescue.
Yeah, yeah.
We eventually got a second hose line up there, and that aided in the extinguishment. But as things were going on, we got crews on the third floor. They found an adult female who they removed to the outside. The next victim was an infant that was found in a side bedroom. The infant was passed off and removed to the outside, and we made our way to the front of the building and found an adult male, all unconscious. When we removed them to the outside,
oh
CPR
my God.
Was in progress.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a crazy bit of a high stress environment for a little while.
Wow. Boy, if but not the, for you guys, that would have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah.
Holy
well,
cow.
You know, I can't say enough for the professionalism and the effort put forth by, you know, the firefighters that were on scene. You know, the third floor, we had high heat conditions, zero visibility. You know, that's our workspace, but it wasn't a good environment. And guys, you know, moved through that environment, found the victims, and did our best to, you know, pass them off to EMS in, you know, good condition.
Third floor, is that you're going back down the stairs or you're going down a ladder? How did you get them out?
No, we were able to assign additional crews to assist in bringing them through the interior stairwell. Basically, the door that we made entry in is the way that we brought them back out.
Okay. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. They actually trained for this stuff.
Yeah, like while the fire's going on, you're doing this.
You said the search and rescue went in. So that's a specialized unit that will go into these. Well, so they train to go into these fires?
Yes, sir. We're broken up into engine companies, truck companies, and rescue company. Engine company is the apparatus that has the hose that sprays the water, that gets the water supply from the hydrant. Truck company is the ladder trucks that you see driving, you know, driving through cities. And rescue company is, you know, they're pretty much an ace in a hole. They can be assigned to do search and rescue operations. They can be assigned to go up on the roof and perform vertical ventilation. You know, they can run hose lines for us. So, you know, they're kind of a mix of everything. So when we were told that we had the victims possibly on the third floor, members of our truck companies and rescue companies were assigned to the third floor to go in and do search while our engine companies had hose lines trying to hold and extinguish the fire.
How do you train for something like that? Where do you go where you're just completely, there's smoke, you can't see anything, there's fire?
Well, when new recruits are going through probationary school, We do most of our training up at the Woolcott Fire School in Woolcott, Connecticut. And
it's like a burn house, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
There's a burn house up there, but it doesn't give you it gives you the basics, but it doesn't prepare you for, you know, situations like we entered into yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of that is just ongoing training with our Bureau of Instruction and Training, or it might be with you know, your company officer, and you know, a lot of it is just OJT, on the job training.
Yeah, that's it's remarkable.
Yeah,
it's really remarkable.
Guys are heroes, man.
Nice job. And that ladder truck, that can't be easy to drive through a city.
No, it can be challenging at times, especially with the narrow streets that we encounter in Waterbury, just like, you know, any other urban environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, our drivers are trained to a high level, and, you know, they know the streets that they can get into, and they know that there's some streets that they possibly might not be able to get into.
Yeah, there'd be like 20 different shades of paint if I drove it.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't just push some of these cars out of the way.
Seriously.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, something that I've seen done. If there was, you know, a high life hazard, you know, I have seen that in the past also.
Got to do it, man. Got to get them. Got to get there.
Have you ever had to, like, break the windows of a car to get the hose through, like if they park near the hydrant? I've seen pictures of this before.
No, I think we've all seen those pictures, and a lot of us would love to do that, but I've never had the opportunity to do that personally.
Yet. Yeah. Days early yet.
Yeah.
Exactly. You never know what the day can hold.
Exactly. Just keep your hammer handy.
How long have you been doing this?
I will start my 35th year in Waterbury on July 11th.
Wow.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And with volunteer time, I've got a total of 41 years in the fire service.
Wow. This fire that you saw yesterday, where would you put that on the scale of things you've seen?
You know, it certainly wasn't the largest fire that I've ever seen. But once the victims were located and were starting to be brought outside, it got to a level of controlled chaos that I haven't seen in some time.
What was when you think about the biggest fire you've seen, what comes to mind?
I had a couple of mill fires at Scoville Manufacturing. A few years ago, had three alarms up on Colley Street across from Waterbury Hospital. You know, had in 34 years in the city of Waterbury, I've seen some, you know, pretty good-sized fires.
How are you?
We appreciate you and people like you.
Yeah, all you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
Thank you.
Well, what are you going to do to celebrate?
Fire pit.
I'm going to go home and sleep.
There you go.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Go with that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Never enough.
Yeah. Try not to burn anything on the grill.
Right.
You'll never hear the end of it.
I'm going to do my best not to do that.
Good. Very good.
Do you remember, I can't remember the year. It was late 80s, early 90s. It was Fire Prevention Week, and someone at Echo Hose in Shelton dumped an ashtray in the garbage can, and they had a fire?
I do not recall that one.
Okay.
Great. But lead by example. Don't do this. Yeah,
I love Echo Hose.
That's one thing we try not to do is start the fires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You put them out.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Get the priority straight.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. Well, nice job to you and your crew yesterday.
And get some
really
sleep.
Well done. And thank you for everything you do for us. Why is the Attorney General of Connecticut going after baby food companies? Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How long is it going to take me to get to work this morning?
Long time.
They want to work from home today.
Where are you going? Stamford to Hartford?
Stamford to Trumbull first. I'm speaking to Boys State this morning at 9 a.m. So I got to get to Trumbull. Then I got to get to Hartford.
You got problems.
Yeah.
Unless you have a helicopter.
Do you guys have Wi-Fi? Can I just bring my laptop and post up in Phil's office?
Sure, why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Come on down.
Yeah.
You're going to have a problem getting here, though, because 95's closed.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's a mess out there.
Good. Well, hope you're all well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, thank you. Attorney General William Tong. What's the deal with baby food companies?
What happened now?
So the deal is that we've known for some time that there are potentially high levels of toxic metals and things like arsenic, lead, mercury, cadmium. And the FDA has yet to establish, you know, safe guidelines for levels of these metals in baby food. And they do it for other things. They do it for bottled water, for example. But they haven't really done it for baby food, and that's inexcusable. And I and a coalition of 20-something AGs have been pushing them pretty much since I became attorney general. And they're not moving fast enough. They're way behind schedule. And as a parent of three, you know, I can't imagine having to provide baby food for my kids. 10,000 kids a day transition to solid food, and I can't imagine not being confident that that food is safe.
What's their response to not having this regulated yet?
I think the response, first of all, is they have a plan and they're on it. But the problem is, first of all, you should have had a plan a long time ago. Second of all, you're behind schedule on your plan. And the truth probably is what's happening is industry is in the background. You know, and I'm a big supporter of the private sector and business and job growth here in Connecticut. But businesses have a responsibility. And what's probably happening is that big, massive baby food manufacturers in the background are either stopping it or slowing it down because it costs them money.
Lobbyists.
Uh-huh.
Lobbyists. They're everywhere.
Is there any health issues or, God forbid, deaths connected to these metals or things not being regulated in baby food?
Well, there are definitely health issues related to unreasonably high exposure to toxic metals in our food, right? And we know that babies, children, that their brains are just developing, they're particularly susceptible to toxic metals and to poisons like lead and mercury. And so I don't have any data on whether there are deaths related to these toxic metals in baby food. I just know that the science tells us that they can be unsafe levels of these metals in baby food, and they need to act on it. And so we basically filed a lawsuit, a motion, pushing the FDA to set at least interim levels. They denied our motion. And so we went back to them again and said, really, guys, can you please reconsider that?
Was that your follow-up motion?
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really, guys?
Yeah, really.
Come on, guys.
Two words. Yep, really, guys.
That's how it starts. Come on, guys.
And they go, oh. Yeah,
don't be stupid over here.
We messed up. So.
Yeah, it's funny that if you drill a new well, I think anywhere in Connecticut, but I know in Southbury because I've done it. You have to have the water tested, and then if there's a high level of arsenic or whatever, you have to get a filtration system.
Yeah.
It's a whole deal. Yeah. I can't believe that they would let companies make baby food, and they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, don't be
fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Forget about it.
I hate to tell you this. You won't be surprised, but I see this every single day, right? Not just in baby food, but this meltdown over baby formula.
Yeah.
Right? And what we realize with baby formula is that there's really only three major manufacturers of baby formula in this country. So if one of them goes down or restricts or constricts the supply or does something with the supply, we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Are we out of that crisis yet where we couldn't find any on the shelf?
No.
No?
No. No, we're still working on it. And, you know, we fight every day. People call our office telling us, you know, about how bad it is and really tough, dire situations for families. And we try to help out. We try to get on the phone, call the manufacturers, try to find baby formula to help people. And, you know, we're not baby formula experts. We're lawyers, but we do what we can.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yep.
We appreciate you doing that. Paul Templer, wildlife expert. He shared one hell of a story with us about being attacked by one.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, a hippo.
Hippo.
Hippo took your arm off, right?
Yeah. It was a hippo.
So what do you know about alligators? Have you ever been attacked by an alligator?
Not by an alligator. Been attacked by a crocodile, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bigger, a little stronger.
Yeah, one has a pointier snout.
Pointier snout to less to go for, right? But still a target, which I think is as relevant as you just mentioned with a gator, if it's got a hold of you.
Right.
Well, what do you do?
Yeah, out of curiosity.
I mean, stating the obvious first thing.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. Can you move that mouthpiece a little bit?
Well, you're nice and clear.
Sure. How's that?
Way better.
Much better, better. Thank you.
Yep. Yes.
Until you're in the croc's mouth.
Okay. Right. Well, first thing, I mean, I know it's stating the obvious, but hey, stay away from them. They're wild animals, and we know that things are going to go south if we get too close to them. First off, if a gator's coming for you and you're on the land, try and stay that way. Some people will say zigzag, really bad advice. Straight fast. They're really fast on land, 35 miles an hour.
Ooh.
Usain Bolt, Usain Bolt, 23 and a half miles an hour at his best.
Yeah.
Good news, though, they can only keep that up for a little while.
Oh,
like
good.
30 yards.
What's a little? Oh, 30 yards?
Right. Okay, so you go 50 yards, you lost them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully. They're building an Indy car. They're low to the ground.
This is
they're wide,
typically.
And they're probably good for turns.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But even if you've gassed it a little when you're running away, you've got a better chance of getting away on the land than in the water. So if it grabs a hold of you on the land, it's got a really sensitive nose. So go for the nose, go for the eyes.
I knew. Why did I know Keith was wrong?
Just punch him in the snout.
Why did I know?
Yeah.
First of all, why does he know this stuff? Because if anything attacks him, he's dead.
True.
He doesn't
true.
Go outside anyway.
He's not going to fight anything off. Nothing. A raccoon.
A mosquito
will drag him up a tree.
A mosquito will take him out.
No, but he said, I thought you punch him in the snout, but you take your fist and you punch him in the top of the head.
Right.
Right on the top of the head.
Yeah.
No. So you say
right.
The snout.
They do have, they have a pressure plate there. So they got a lot of nerves on their nose. So go there. Eyes, another area that they're vulnerable. There's two little dots on the top of the head. If you're paying that close attention, go for that area. Don't waste your time trying to open its mouth. It's not going to happen.
You're going to cut your hands up too, right?
You just won't overpower them.
Very powerful jaws.
Once they're closed, they're closed.
Yeah.
Once they're closed, they're closed. And as weird as it sounds, try and hold on to it because as it's shaking around, that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to rip parts off. Now, there's a good chance at some point, because the first attack is probably going to be a threat display, you're going to get a break. So it's going to let go to get a better purchase. When it does that, it's really easy to keep their jaws shut. They got really weak muscles when it comes to opening the mouth.
Okay.
So good idea, keep the mouth shut. Now,
you know, it's funny, like, I know because you've been through this before. You could process all this information as it's happening in a split second. Most people, by the time they're like, oh, my God, an alligator has me, they're dead.
It's done, yeah.
Yeah, they look down, they're like, ah!
Right.
Dead.
Doesn't help. Screaming does not help.
Yeah.
Screaming does not help because you're going to take in water, waste a lot of air. Now, if it truly sucks and you end up in the water with the crocodile or the alligator, it's going to start going for this death roll thing. That is not a good sign.
Okay.
When that happens, once again, you want to hug onto that gator for all it's worth.
What's it trying to do with the death roll?
It's trying to rip bits and pieces off you to kill you so that it can eat parts.
Oh, good. Little snack.
Right. Now, if it gets a leg, will it say, all right, I got a leg, I can leave now?
Or come back for more.
Ah, right.
But the good news, if there is such a thing as good news, is he's also quite vulnerable when he's in this mode because at the back of its throat, it's got this palatal valve, which kind of regulates oxygen, air and water. If you can knock that valve down, if you can knock that valve back, then the alligator is going to be taking water on too, which again has the alligator going and gives you a chance to get out.
Right, like a carburetor, going to flood him out. Gotcha.
Yeah. If you do get out, get away. Like, this is no time for namby-pamby. This is no time for fighting. Like, as soon as you get a chance to get the heck out of there, get the heck out of there.
Right. Don't dilly-dally.
Don't hang out. Don't talk smack. That's
don't
right.
Don't dilly-dally.
That's right.
I showed you. Yeah. Right.
You thought you're so tough, huh? Okay.
Take
okay. Who's the badass? Nah! Exactly.
He's got my other arm. No!
Son of a really.
Shout out to me.
Right. And you said badass there. And that's the thing to remember. When it comes to if a gator's coming for you, if a gator's attacking you, or you're nearby, a gator's attacking someone else, leave your sensibilities behind. No more Mr. Nice Person. You got to go full out badass.
Right.
If it's you getting attacked, you want to make as much noise. You want to scratch, kick, punch. If you see someone and you have something solid, don't go jumping in the water with them if they're getting attacked. But if you happen to have some kind of, if there's a pole, a paddle, a chair, something, make some noise, beat on the alligator, distract it.
Wait, make some noise. If you're making noise, that screaming counts.
Yeah.
Okay, because you were saying don't scream. You're going to waste air.
I guess underwater?
No, he's saying if you're viewing this happening, instead of jumping in, make noise.
Oh, yeah. And let them know you're saying, hey, be careful out
so
there.
If you're a witness.
Right. If you're a bystander, don't jump in. Right. Because, forget it. Like, that's the wrong move.
Yeah, two for one deal for the
alligator. It's tough
alligator.
If it's someone you care about.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about shooting it? Is it good to shoot it?
If you're a good shot and you're close.
Wait.
I'm just saying.
You have a gun.
I'm saying you have a gun on you.
On you.
Yeah, if you have a gun on you.
And the thing grabs your leg.
No, I'm saying if you're
going to wonder.
No, the bystander. The bystander.
Oh, well, you're going to have to hope that.
You hit the right object. I'm just saying. But I'm just saying, like, will a bullet, like, pierce it? I'll make, someone, like, have, like.
Let's go back to, like, a 1970s cop show.
Okay.
All right? There's a hostage situation.
Right. So reason with it.
Let go of my loved one.
There's a reason why they don't pull the trigger is because they might shoot the innocent person.
Right. Okay. So I'm just asking.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you've got it, like the point, you might hit the person. So curious move. If you happen to be fortunate enough to have a gun and a crocodile snacking on you, by all means, start pulling that trigger.
Right. Blast it. Gotcha.
We got to let you go. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Love to hear you. It's vacation season.
Yes, it is.
And there's all kinds of wackiness going on at the airports. So we thought we'd bring on Amanda with Hargate Travel to maybe give us some hints as to how to avoid this nightmare.
There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You just got back from where?
I was in Pebble Beach in California.
Nice.
Tough life.
I know. If you're going to have a meeting, that's a great place to have one.
It sounds painful, Pebble Beach. Ow, 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 ow.
Wear your flip-flops.
There you go.
Did you have any trouble getting back?
You know what? It wasn't bad. I didn't have any delays. Took a little while to get my bags off of the carousel last night, so I'm working on about 4 hours of sleep. But I'll tell you, all in all, it wasn't bad, but it was packed. There's a lot of people traveling right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
That sounds like
fun.
Or the opposite.
You know,
long lines.
You have to pack your patience. And that's what it's all about. Mm. You know, if you expect the worst, you'll probably come out better than that.
Oh, that's a good plan.
That's me every flight. Expect the worst.
Yeah. So AJ's plan one is expect the worst.
Exactly. Plan, yes. Yeah. Bring drugs.
Plan, yes. Bring drugs.
Bring drugs.
Exactly.
Whatever it takes to calm my ass down. Well,
I mean, you just have to expect that you will wait, get to the airport early, have a backup plan. I mean, there is, you definitely, if you can, take that first flight in the morning so that if something does go wrong, you've got, plenty of time to find another plan. You know, it is what it is right now. The airports are packed. The airlines are doing the best they can, kind of. I have some mixed feelings on that, but I won't talk about that today for sure.
Well, what is the problem? Is it COVID? Is it mass retirements during COVID? Is it people calling in sick?
The masks aren't an issue anymore. Nobody gives you a hard time. You can choose to wear one or not. Nobody says anything.
Mass retirings. Did you have a lot of pilots?
Mass. Okay. Yes. Yeah. No, they offered early retirement to a lot of people during COVID. The airlines got a ton of money. The CARES Act provided lots of backup for the airlines. And unfortunately, I don't feel they did a really great job of preparing for this. Of course, people call in sick with COVID. And, there's a shortage of workers. We're all seeing it everywhere. And so it's kind of like the perfect storm because people are ready to go. And now that they've removed the return testing requirement, it seems like the floodgates have opened and everybody who's been stuck at home wants to go away, which is awesome. But you just have to be prepared to have your patience.
It is nuts that we gave them a ton of money and they didn't spend it on the right thing. They just took it.
Yeah.
It's like the top people got it and all the workers, whatever. Figure it out.
Thank you. Nothing went.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Get me started.
Yeah.
I was in Capitol Hill last week lobbying because, this is not something that anyone expected, and certainly I don't feel like there was enough preparation done. But here nor there, we are where we are right now, and, you just have to really be prepared that something could go wrong.
All right, so go in the morning in case you get delayed. I would think pay a little extra for direct and not connecting flights.
Okay.
Because that's where you could have the domino effect.
Goes on the tracks, yep.
Absolutely. If you can go with carry-on baggage, do that. But also be prepared that you may have to check your bag at the gate. So when you're packing your suitcase, put the things that you have to take out in order to check your bag, your laptop, medication, anything like that, put it toward the top so that you're not like unpacking your bag while you're trying to gate check it.
Yeah, not rifling through, right?
Airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal?
It's not. I mean, the thing is that, a lot of people don't want to check their bag because it costs extra and they're worried their bag will get lost, which is a valid reason. And so, a lot of people carry stuff on, but you see people with like steamer trunks and all of these huge items and you're like, really? But, it is what it is. But be prepared that if at the gate they say we need people to check bags, the overheads are full, you got to be prepared.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I love carrying the bag on.
Yeah.
So there's nothing like walking off that plane and just getting to transportation, not having to go fight the carousel of death.
Right.
It's true. But I have to say, like last night, I flew in on United. I used their bag tracking app. And it was actually kind of cool because when I was connecting in Denver, I could see when they scanned my bag off of the airplane and when they scanned it onto the next airplane. And it gave me a little bit of comfort to know my bag was actually on the aircraft. But if you can travel light, awesome, do it. It's definitely worth it to not have to go to the carousel and wait because I waited an hour last night at Bradley at 12:30 at night, which is not fun.
Is there an airline that is better at not canceling flights than another or others?
Well, statistically, it depends who you talk to. If you talk to a Delta executive, they'll say Delta has the best stats. If you talk to United, they have the best stats. So I don't even know. I mean, the reality is that, if you're one of the low-cost carriers, your chances of being protected on a different carrier are slim. So just know that there's a reason they're low-cost. Doesn't mean that they're not great. I use Avelo out of New Haven. It's so easy. Or Breeze is just now putting in service. So just know that, your chance of being backed up on a different carrier is limited. So if your airline only has one flight a day to the destination and your flight gets canceled, it could be 2, 3, 4 days before you get your next flight. You do get what you pay for. We recommend travel insurance because it does protect you if you do have a delay and you have to stay over or you have expenses. So it is something that is super helpful, and it's not expensive.
Any other tips?
You know, I wish I had that magic wand that could say you're not going to have a problem. But for me, if you can, use a travel specialist. That's our job. You pay a little bit to use our services, but I'll tell you, it is well worth it, because when things go wrong, we're there to help. So, you know, it's one of those things that I wouldn't say stay home, because it's a fabulous time to travel, but definitely be patient. Bring books or download your series that you love watching, because it could be time that you're waiting at the airport.
Be prepared. Wear comfortable shoes and comfortable clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, pack some PJs and...
Not going that far.
Yeah, and just chill out, because that's what you're going to have to do.
What do you think a trip or two to Italy would be?
Well, you know, it
depends on what you want to do.
Yeah.
We want to... Yeah. And you know, right now the airfares are kind of crazy. So, you know, during the summer, if you're planning on going to Europe, you're definitely going to pay more right now. But on the other hand, one thing that people don't realize is the Chinese market hasn't opened up yet. So we don't have a lot of Asian travelers right now, which they normally are, you know, there's lots of them. So it is a good time to travel right now, in that, yes, there are space shortages, but not as much as there will be.
Oh, wow.
Once those other countries open.
When do you think that'll happen?
I don't know. I mean, they've shut things down indefinitely right now because of the Olympics. They want to get ready for that, but... You know, that's any time that could open up. Wow.
So, didn't even think of that one.
Whoops.
Yeah.
This changed everything.
All right, here's the deal. If you want to go on vacation this summer, you haven't booked anything yet, and you just think everything's going to cost $1 zillion, uh-huh. It's going to be a nightmare to find a flight and all this, there's a couple of spots open on the Chaz and AJ trip.
Yeah.
Right? How many are left?
I think we have 5 rooms left, and that's it. And what I love about this trip is you leave the day before Labor Day, so you're leaving Sunday. You won't only have to use 4 vacation days, because you probably have Monday off. And the cost is fixed, so everything's included. Your alcohol, your drinks, your food, your activities. You know, and it's
room,
at the Hard Rock Hotel in Punta Cana, and it's going to be a blast.
What are you saying, Phil?
We had a caller, couldn't hold, wanted to know if the TSA pre-check is worth it.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, my gosh. Clear, pre-check, global entry, make the investment in those programs, because it does help. And I'll tell you, when I fly by and there's a line at the door at the regular and I go TSA pre-check, I feel like I've cheated the world. And It's helpful.
How long does it take to get that?
It depends. With global entry, it can take a little while. But one tip I have is, once you fill out the application for that, you have to have an in-person interview. And one thing people don't realize, if you're returning from an international destination, you can walk in and try to get an appointment too. So, you know, that can help to speed things up, or get your interview the day you're leaving to go internationally. TSA pre-check, it depends on, you know, how busy they are, but, you know, it could take a matter of weeks. Clear is something that can be done right at the airport and could go really fast. They haven't put that into Bradley yet, but at most other airports in the United States, they offer clear. And what's great about it is you don't have to present your license when you go through the security, because they've already pre-checked you and they have all of your information. And that's really nice.
All right. Five spots left on this Chaz and AJ trip.
Yep.
And it, what is the cost? It's like
$21.99 per person. That includes your airfare, your transfers, the hotel in a suite. So it's a Caribbean sand suite. It includes your meals, room service, activities, drinks, which includes alcoholic beverages. They have complimentary Wi-Fi, unlimited calls to the U.S., gratuities. You guys are having this private welcome dinner, which is going to be fabulous. We have a snorkel and booze cruise. And, you know, we know that times are tough. Energy costs have gone up. Food costs more. This is one of those things. You know how much you're spending. We even have a payment plan where you could pay it in 12 payments over the next year. So if you don't have the money to put up front, don't worry about it. We can help with that. But it's fabulous. Your traveling tribe is so great, and everybody has a good time. It's just one big party.
We have a great group going. Yeah. I'm really excited about this. So five spots left.
Five.
You're not going to get a deal at this price now. This was set in way back in, I think, towards the middle of 2020 or whatever.
Been planning this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're counting it down in the Twitch chat room, too.
Yeah, we're linked up on the radio station website. Five spots left.
That's it.
So, all right. Amanda, thank you so much. Amanda with Largate Travel. Appreciate you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.